I want to turn our thoughts now to the fifth chapter of Galatians, in the first verse. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Galatians 5, 1. Also, I want to read Galatians 5:13. For, brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. Also, Galatians 5:17. For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary, the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. Also, before I proceed with any discussion here, I want to read 1 Corinthians 8 and 9. But take heed lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak. And finally, in 1 Peter, the second chapter, and verse 16. As free, and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Another translation on this text says, not using your liberty as a pretext to do wickedness, but as those who are free to do only the will of God at all times. Now we will go back to the fifth chapter of Galatians and the first verse. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. There is something in every human being that cries out for liberty. One of our great statesmen, Patrick Henry, I believe it was, of the former era, he said, others may do as they will, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death. If he couldn't have liberty, he wanted death. Now this text is speaking of a liberty that Christ gives. But on the very face of it, it's a qualified text. You see, Christ has not given you and me a licentious liberty, a liberty that's lacking in legal and moral restraints, a liberty that is marked by disregard for rules. That isn't the kind of a liberty that Christ gave you and me. Now that's the kind that some folks claim. One of the problems that we have in the Church of God, is people not understanding the liberties that Christ gave and claiming liberties outside of what Christ gave. There's a certain type or class of liberty that Christ gave us. But it isn't a licentious liberty without regard for accepted principles and established standards. It is not a liberty without law. It's a liberty under law, regulated by law. Now, let us take for an example this land in which we live. I readily agree that our liberties are not as extensive as they have been in times past, and yet we have quite a degree of liberty in this country. But this country has been known as the land of the free and the home of the brave. A land of liberty. But in this land of the free and the home of the brave, no citizen of whatever rank he is permitted to enter the lowliest hovel of the most humble citizen without his consent. And no citizen has a right to take anything that belongs to another citizen and appropriate it to his own benefit and advantage without the permission of the owner. Now, these texts I read, all of them, the first one speaks of a liberty. But it is, on the face of it, a qualified liberty. The liberty wherewith Christ makes free. The liberty that Christ gave us. Then all the others set about immediately to regulate that liberty. The liberty that Christ gave us is clearly a regulated liberty, and is regulated by law, God's law. Now, we have in this country certain principal liberties. Among them is liberty of speech, freedom of speech, and freedom of press. Well, we might think we've got freedom of speech. I can say anything about anybody, anytime, any place I want to. It's just a land of free speech. Freedom of press. We can put anything through the press about anybody, any condition, anytime we want to. It's freedom of press. But we still have libel suits, don't we? And sometimes people are able to collect through the courts immense sums of money for damage that has been done to their reputation or that has affected them in their career or in their business or one way or another. But false things being published in the press or put out against them. But it's freedom of speech. How can you cross anybody up for saying what they think? Saying anything they want to say. The freedoms of this country are to every citizen on an equal basis, but they are not freedoms to encroach on the liberties of another citizen, see. When our freedoms begin to encroach on the freedoms and rights of another citizen, then the law steps in and regulates that matter. Now, a liberty without law, just an unrestrained liberty, would result in an unrestricted tyranny on the part of dominant people and unrestricted oppression on the part of the meek and the timid people. God doesn't have it set up that way. God doesn't have it set up, and Christ didn't give you and me liberty to just lord it over anybody else. He never even gave a man liberty to lord it over his wife. He instructed the wife to be in subjection to her husband, but God has not given a man liberty to dominate the life of his wife or any other person. When he gave that instruction that a woman should be in subjection to her own husband, he also admonished the husband that he dwell with her according to knowledge and give honor to her as unto the weaker vessel, being heirs together of the grace of life, that their prayers be not hindered. Many a prayer is hindered today because family relationships aren't what they should be. And wives are not subject to their husbands, and husbands are dominating and lording it over their wives. And prayers are being hindered in many respects. Prayers are being hindered today because our relationship with our fellow men isn't what it should be. And one person dominates another, and one lords it over another. Sometimes people gather all this in within the scope of their liberties. People don't like to be hedged in anyway. We just like liberty, unrestrained liberty. Our freedom is unrestrained as long as we direct it in the right channel. But it is a controlled liberty, controlled under law. Now in this 13th verse that I read, he said, "Brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not your liberty as an occasion to the flesh." You see, he starts right in immediately to channel our liberty and to run it in the proper course. Use not your liberty as an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. We're obligated by law, God's law, to serve one another, to live for the interest and welfare of one of another. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. The liberty that Christ gave us is not to be used as an occasion to the flesh, please ourselves, and to pet the desires of the natural man, but we are restricted under law to serve one another through love, and to bear one another's burdens according to the will of God. Now verse 17 says, "The flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would." Now I don't know what that text means to you. Maybe I don't know all it means anyway. But here's the thought I get from this text. There's a conflict between the flesh and the spirit. And They're contrary the one to the other. There's a warfare going on between them. And because of that, you and I cannot do the things that we would. Now, I don't interpret this text to fit in with the statements of the Apostle Paul in the 7th chapter of Romans, that when I would do good, evil's present with me, and that I hate, that I do, and that I would, that I do not, and so on. I don't interpret this text like that at all. I don't believe it has any connection with that. He's talking to brethren here. Paul was talking under a different condition in the 7th chapter of Romans, but here he says, ye cannot do the things that ye would. Well, this is what it means to me, that I can't have my own way. I can't do this like I want to do. I can't please my flesh and cater to myself. There's a warfare going on between the flesh and the spirit, and it's up to me to be regulated by the law and to submit myself to the spirit and to resist the lure of the flesh and just not do everything that I want to do. Well, but somebody says, I'm free. I can do as I please. Well, the Bible didn't say that. That isn't the liberty that Christ gave you to do as you please. He never has given anyone that kind of liberty and license to just do as they please. Now, in the 8th chapter of 1 Corinthians, in verse 9, he says, take heed, lest by any means this liberty of yours... See, we're talking about liberty, but it's a regulated liberty. It's a liberty not without law, but a liberty under law, regulated by law. It says, take heed lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to him that is weak. We are, by act of our own free will, to curtail our liberties under certain conditions and to restrain ourselves from doing things that are offensive and hurtful to other people. Now, just as the law steps in and takes over, why do we have any law at all? It's to regulate the association and dealings of the populace among themselves, people with other people, and how we treat other people, and what other people's rights are. And when we, in the exercise of our liberty, or what we think our liberty is, begin to cross over the rights of another citizen, the law steps in and takes over and regulates that matter. It's the same in the kingdom of God. He has some laws too. And when anybody gets to letting themselves loose and going too far out, they don't like to be interfered with. They want you to attend to your own business and let me alone. I'll do as I please. But the law of God steps in and takes over there and regulates that matter when we get to trampling on other people's toes and being an offense and a hindrance to other people. Our liberty does not go that far. Now, what I've said up to now is true politically, it's true socially, it is true spiritually, in the world and in the church. Now Christ, my text said, stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. Now Christ has given us a liberty that is sufficiently regulated that everybody can enjoy liberty up to the point that it begins trampling on another person's toes. or as an offense or a hindrance to other people. But now Christ never did give you and me liberty or free license to pursue our own selfish interests without regard to the interests of other people. Now in Philippians, the 2nd chapter, verse 20, he says, "For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state, for all seek their own, not the things that are Jesus Christ." Now Paul was lamenting here. He was stating a fact, but it was a sad fact. He was not condoning this. He was lamenting this. That all sought their own, not the things which were Jesus Christ. We feel that our liberty in the gospel would grant us the right and privilege to just pursue our own course, live our own life, go our own way. Everybody let me alone. I'm a free man. Christ made me free. But brother, let me tell you, he never made you that free. He never gave you that kind of liberty. Stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. The kind of liberty that Christ gave us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 24, he says, "Let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth." All of this is summing up to the fact that in all of my doings, I'm not to pursue selfish interests, but I am to consider the interests of my fellow men, of my brethren in the church, of people outside of the church that I deal with. We have such an idea as this that people have to walk softly before the saints. You're liable to be an offense if you don't walk softly among the saints. Now, folks, that's the reverse end of it. We ought to walk softly before the saints, but we ought to walk softly all the time. Amen. And God's word puts the emphasis on the other side, is that walk in wisdom toward them that are without. If there's any difference, we ought to be more wise and more cautious toward the people without than we are the people within. We should ordinarily consider that people in the church will have grace and they can kind of overlook us if we blunder a little, or if we commit some kind of an offense, they can kind of overlook us, but the fellow outside isn't going to grant you that. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without. Now, let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth. In the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians, which is a treatise on the subject of charity, one of the brand marks of charity in the 5th verse is, "Seeketh not her own." You see, all these things are coming right in line with the thought of the Christian's liberty. It's channeled. It's qualified. It's restricted within these bounds. And it does not grant you and me the right and the privilege to just pursue our own course, blunderbuss right on through, regardless of anybody else or anything else or what anybody thinks. Amen. We've got an attitude like this, and I don't like it. I don't care what they think. This is me, I'm living my life, I don't care what other people think. Folks, I care what other people think.
Oh, yes.
I'm particular about what other people think, and the New Testament teaches me to be that way. Now, in 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, in verse 25, he says that God has set the members in the body as it pleased him, and whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. There should be no schism in the body, but every member have the same care one for another. You see, folks, we're living under a regulated liberty. Regulated freedom here. Just like we do in this country of ours. It's all regulated within certain channels. We can do what we want to do as long as we don't cross over certain lines that affects other people. We are taught in God's Word, ye are not your own. Folks, let us realize that that's true. And that we're not living a life separated from other people. Other people, we're told in the 12th chapter of Romans in verse 5, ye are members one of another. Now we're all connected up together. And each of us is an integral part of a whole. Whether it's a family unit and a household, or whether it's a community unit, or whether it's an organizational or corporation unit, or whether it's a political unit, or whether it is a church unit, a congregation. We are each one an integral part of a whole. Yes, and what we do affects the people that we're associated with. I read where that a man got in his car, drove near 100 miles an hour down a public highway. He thought he had a right to do that. He thought, well, I'm just alone in this car. Nobody involved but me. And I didn't drive that way. But the car went out of control, crashed into another car and demolished it. And this man lost his life in the accident. It so happened that the car he crashed into was driven by his own wife. It tore up that car, wrecked his car, and he was killed in the accident. That man may have felt a degree of permission, of freedom to drive that way, because there was no one in the car but him. But he paid for his folly with his own life. And his wife paid on and on and on. She kept paying in grief and in tears and in the bills and unfinished business of her husband that suddenly fell on her. You see, his folly affected his wife, affected his family. And actually, though this didn't happen until it came in contact with the car that his wife was driving, it could have happened any other time, and he was endangering the lives of all the people on the highway while he was driving that way. But this is me. I'm the only man in here. I have my rights to do this if I want to do this. One young man who was a drinking man, and he was admonished by some of his friends that was detrimental to his health. It was damaging his health, and he just retorted sarcastically and says, "It's my health, isn't it? Tend to your own business." Well, he went on. Later on, he met a fine young lady, and he married her. They had some children. By that time, he was afflicted with cirrhosis of the liver, and he was not able to sustain a good, responsible, well-paying job. His provisions for his family were rather meager. That young man didn't want anybody interfering with him. This is my life. It's my health. I have a right to do whatever I want to do as long as it doesn't affect anyone but me. But actually, that young man was steadily damaging a fine young woman that he never met till some years later, and damaging the interests and welfare of children that were yet unborn in his folly. His family had to pay the bill for his folly. The things that we do affect the people that we're associated with. And many times, when we step out of line, it is the ones that are the nearest and dearest to us that pay the highest cost. They pay the most of the bill. Folks, we are not an island to ourselves, separated and isolated and distinct from other human beings and from the human family. But we are an integral part of a whole, and we must learn to behave ourselves accordingly and to regulate our liberties according to the way that it's going to affect the people that we're associated with. The Bible said in the 14th chapter of Romans, in verse 7, none of us liveth to himself. Folks, that's true. It was true when Paul wrote it. It's true now. None of us liveth to himself. We cannot isolate ourselves from humanity. And we cannot isolate ourselves as a brother in the church from the other brethren in the church. You take a young fella, and he decides that he wants to drop out of school. Many of them do. Well, you can just reason with him, talk with him, argue the matter, what it's going to mean to him later on down the line, but he feels like this is me. It's not going to affect anybody but me. But he goes on down the line. He gets married. He has a family. They have to live on poverty rations because he hasn't qualified himself and isn't able to maintain them in a proper way that they should be maintained. And it reaches beyond his family. It affects all the rest of us with welfare bills and social problems. But he says, this is just me. It's not going to affect anybody but me. But he's not thinking far enough. He doesn't see far enough. It's the same way in the church. The unwise actions, the offenses, the blunderbuss attitude of some people just barging on through, disregarding their brethren, the feelings of their brethren, the admonitions of their brethren, and so on. This is me. I'm a free man. If Christ makes you free, you'll be free indeed. And that's just the way I am. And I'm just going to live my life like I want to live it. Well, all right. But there's going to be some bills to pay. You pay the bills and the rest of us will pay with you. We'll all suffer from the effects of that kind of thing. Brother Barton told about one time he was living in Springfield, Missouri. He and his wife were very active in the work of the Lord. And he said one year there was lots of sickness. There was a widespread epidemic, a number of deaths, lots of trouble. And he said that he and his wife left their home when the ground was all covered with snow and ice on everything. They never saw their own home again until the flowers were in bloom. Never got out of the town they lived in, but just going from one home to another home where there was sickness and death and trouble and helping the people. He said one spring day he was walking to visit a man who was in the last stages of tuberculosis, a dying man. And he was thinking what a beautiful day it was. Warm, bright sunshine, just a wonderful day. And when he got over there, the man was on his bed and there were three other men in the room that were visiting there. I don't know for what cause. They were businessmen. Maybe they were there to see if the man needed assistance or if he had sufficient. They were there representing some group to help him out, probably. Brother Barton walked over to the man's bed and said, "Brother," says, "you know what I was thinking as I walked along out there coming to your place?" He said, "No." He said, "I was just thinking what a beautiful day this is. How nice and warm it is. And you shut in here and you can't enjoy this. And how glad I'd be if I could just trade places with you for a while. And me take your sickness and your pain and your bed and let you get out here and enjoy this like I'm enjoying it." He said, "These three men in here, they picked up their ears. They lifted their countenance. One of them said to him, said, 'Brother, you said something there that interests me.' Said, 'It must be a wonderful church where you go to church.' Says, 'Where do you go to church?'" They were interested in something. He told them where he worshiped. He said, "Their countenances darkened and their heads dropped." One of them said, "Is that where so-and-so goes?" "Yes. Yes, he's over there." Said they shook their heads and says, "It won't do. It's just no good." Now the effect of that man's dealings with these folks had killed all the effect of these sacrifices that Brother and Sister Barton were making with these men. It affected them, and the church had to pay the bill for that. The things that we do are not going to only affect us, they're going to affect others too. And first of all, it'll be the people that are the nearest and dearest to you. Then it'll be the people in the church, and then maybe the general public, however far it may reach. You and I need to recognize the fact that Christ has given us a good standard of liberty. But it's a regulated liberty, and we need to respect that. It is not a licentious liberty. It is not just an unrestrained liberty to do our own thing and go our own way. Life is a wave of influence. Every one of us in our lives here set in motion a wave of influence that will never end until it breaks on eternity's shores. Our lives here are going to make the world a little better or a little worse by our having passed through it. The things you and I do are a permanent contribution to the cause of right or the cause of wrong, good or evil. Our influence, the effect of them. Christ never gave us liberty to do a lot of things that some folks do and resent it if they're interfered with. Some folks grossly misbehave themselves, but they don't want to be interfered with. You make an enemy out of them if you do interfere with them. If you admonish them, if you try to instruct them, let me tell you something, folks, that's not the liberty Christ gave you. Stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. The clock's going around there, and I don't have time now to finish this next thought, so I'll just stop right here with the words of the Apostle Paul to Timothy. You consider what I say, and the Lord give you understanding in all things.